Sermons on Hebrews 11 by Thomas Manton. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 6. This seeking must be our business as well as our scope. A thing that we would not mind by the by, but is a great work we are to do in our lives here in the world. Deuteronomy 4 verse 29. Thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart, and with all thy soul. In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. In 2 Chronicles 15, verse 15, they sought him with all their hearts, and their whole desire, and he was found of them. Many are convinced that they cannot be happy without the favor of God. Their consciences tell them they must seek after God, but their affections carry them to the world. Oh, but when your whole heart is in this, when you make it your great business, then you shall find him. If you content yourselves to look after God once in a while, and as a recreation, and with a few slight endeavors, and do not make this a great employment of your lives, you will never find him. Certainly we were made for God. It was the end of our creation. Therefore, this must be the business of your lives. God made us for himself, and we can never be happy without himself. And as it was the end of our creation, so it is the end of his gracious forbearance and indulgence in the course of his providence. Why would God forbear with sinning man when he punished the apostate angels? That they might seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. Acts 17, verse 27. We do not live just to live, but we live to seek God. When we had lost God by Adam's apostasy, God might have cut off all hope that ever we should find him again, as the angels, when they lost their chiefest good, could never recover their first estate. But it is God's indulgence to deal with us upon more gracious terms, that we might seek after him. God did not seek the creatures. He had happiness enough in himself, but we needed such a creator. He that hides himself from the sun does not impair the light of it. We derogate nothing from God, but it is a loss of benefit to us that we don't seek him for the present and for the future. If you seek him, you shall be happy for the present. For the God of Jacob has pawned his word to you that none shall seek him in vain. Isaiah 45, verse 19. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. In Psalm 22, 26, they shall praise the Lord that seek him. You will have cause to bless God ere the search be over. And for the future, Amos 5, verse 6. Seek the Lord and you shall live well then. Here is a great work and business of your lives, diligently to seek after God. Though it may be at first you do not find him, yet comfort yourself that you are in the seeking way, still in pursuit of him. Better to be a seeker than a wanderer. Psalm 24, verse 6. This is a generation of them that seek him, that seek your face. Though you do not presently feel the love of God, and have no assurance of your pardon, nor sensible comfort from his Spirit, yet continue seeking. Here is your business. Here is your work. Number 2. Why is this put here? He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. First, it is put exclusively. Privileges in Scripture are propounded with their necessary limitation. We disjoint a frame of religion if we would sever the reward from the duty. God is a rewarder, but to whom? to the careless, to the negligent. Oh no, he will be an avenger to them. Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Not only they that deny God, but they that forget God, that do not seek after him. As they cast God out of their mind and affections, so God will cast them out of his presence. Number two, it is put inclusively. God will impartially reward everyone that seeks him, without any distinction. The door of grace stands open for all comers. Everyone that seeks God finds entertainment, not only in regard of the answers of grace for the present, but as to eternal recompenses hereafter. First, for the present. Oh, do not conceive of God after a carnal manner. It was the corrupt theology of the Gentiles that the gods did look after great things, but small and petty things they left to others. As if the great God did act according to the advice of Jethro to Moses, Exodus 18, verses 21 and 22. You shall appoint rulers of thousands, hundreds, and fifties, and tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great manner they shall bring to you, but every small manner they shall judge. But the Lord's providence here in the world extends to everyone that seeks him, and he hearkens to the prayers of the poorest beggar, as well as the greatest monarch. Persons despicable in the world may find audience and acceptance with God. Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. David speaks it of himself, when he was a ruddy youth, following the ewes great with young. There is none among the sons of men that has cause to say, is Isaiah 40, verse 27, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. That is, God has so much to do in the world that he forgets me. He does not mind my case, for the Lord has a providence. Number two, hereafter they will find in him a rewarder. There is none so poor but he will find God makes good his promise. There is a notable expression in Ephesians 6, verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. He speaks to encourage servants who at that time were slaves in singleness of heart to go about their duty. Even the basest drudgery of servants is a doing good, and comes within the compass of those good works which God will take notice of. God does not look to the external splendor of the work, but to the honesty and sincerity of it, though it be of a poor drudge and slave that is faithful in his calling. Nay, God will rather forget princes, lords, and mighty men of the earth, vain and sinful potentates, than pass by a poor servant that fears him. You find that God gave the angels charge over Lazarus' soul. Luke 16, verse 22. The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The beggar's soul is thus conducted in state to heaven. Whosoever seeks him will be sure to find him a rewarder. Secondly, I come to the nature of this faith. You have seen the thing that is to be believed, but how is it to be believed? 1. It must be a firm and certain persuasion, the rewarder sure on God's part. Men may be ignorant, forgetful, unthankful, as Pharaoh's butler forgot Joseph in Genesis 40, verse 23. But the Lord is righteous and will not forget your labor of love. Proverbs 11, verse 18. To him that sows righteousness shall be a sure reward. It may be the work you do for God is like plowing or sowing, difficult and hard work, but we are sure of an excellent crop. When we feel nothing but trouble and inconvenience, feelings will make God a liar, and we will be apt to say, I have cleansed my heart in vain, Psalm 73, verse 13. But the Lord will not forget this service you do for him. Under the law, God would not have the hireling defrauded of his wages because he has lifted up his soul to it. The man comforted himself with this thought. He should have his recompense at night. So when you lift up your soul to look for those great things promised, God looks upon himself as bound. Therefore, there must be entertained with a strong faith. And without doubting, we read in Scripture of a threefold assurance. An assurance of understanding, Colossians 2, verse 2. An assurance of faith, Hebrews 10, verse 22. An assurance of hope, Hebrews 6, verse 11. All this represents the firmness of that assent by which we should receive the promises. Number two, it must not be a naked assent, but a lively and operative faith, urging and encouraging us to seek after God upon those hopes. There are many that are able to dispute for the truth of the rewards of religion, but yet do not feel the virtue of them. This is not enough to have notions and opinions that God is a rewarder, but we must have a lively, operative faith. Philippians 3, verse 14, I press toward a mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. That is a due apprehension of the reward, when we are engaged by it to the duties which the reward calls for, Hebrews 11, verse 13. They were persuaded of them, and embrace them, when it ravishes the affections and engages the heart, when it keeps us from fainting under the cross. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, when it abates the eagerness of our pursuit after worldly things, when we are contented with a little here because we are persuaded we shall have enough with God. A rich man that has a vast inheritance of his own, to see him among the poor that glean up the ears of corn that were scattered, this is an uncomely thing. Oh, do we look for so great blessedness? And are we scraping so much in the world, we that are begotten to a lively hope, 1 Peter 1, verse 3? Such a faith produces sobriety and moderation to worldly things, 1 Peter 1, 13. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In short, we that look for such things should give diligence to be found of him. And what manner of persons ought we to be? 2 Peter 3:11. If it be not a dead and a naked opinion only to dispute about the rewards of religion, but a well-grounded confidence that will quicken our endeavors, moderate our desires, allay the bitterness of the cross, and help us in the way to heaven. Number three, it is an applicative faith. We must believe God is not only a rewarder, but say with Paul, this he will be to me, for so we have the expression, 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and so on. This is proposed and made over to me for my comfort and my quickening. Salvation in general has no such efficacy, 1 Corinthians 9:26. I run, not as uncertain, in the Isthmic games to which the apostle alludes, held near Corinth, a man might run, but he was not certain whether he should have the goal or not. But I run, not as uncertain, as one that has a prize in view, and am comfortably assured I shall obtain it. This quickens us to a comfortable, willing industry. Thirdly, the influence that it has upon our obedience and service to God, to keep the heart free and ingenuous. We're apt to look upon God as a Pharaoh, harsh and austere, as if he had required work, where he will not give wages. But think of his mercy and kindness and readiness to reward the services of his people, that you may come to him with an ingenuous confidence. Our obligations to God are absolute. We are bound to serve him though nothing should come of it. Aye, but he is pleased to move us by rewards, to draw us with the cords of a man and with the bands of love. Hosea 11, verse 4. When he might rule us with a rod of iron and require duty out of mere power and sovereignty, he will govern us rationally by precepts and rewards. Men do not use to enter into covenant with a slave, yet God is pleased to indent with us. He would have us to look upon him as a rewarder. In all our services, we are to remember that God is, that we may be full of awe, and that he is a rewarder, that we may be ingenuous. Number 2, to keep the heart sincere and upright. Oh, there is nothing makes a heart so sincere as to make God our paymaster, and to look for our reward from him only. Carnal affections will draw us to seek praise and honor of men, some present profit, some reward here. Matthew 6, verse 2, they have their reward, and give God a discharge. But man's sincerity is to look for all his reward from God, Colossians 3, 23, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance. You have a master good enough, and don't need to look for your pay elsewhere. Number 3, to quicken us in our duty and make us vigorous and cheerful and diligent in our service. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor shall not be in vain in the Lord. Idols can do nothing for their worshippers. These will deceive you. But God will not be served for nothing. Your duty that you do to him will return into your own bosoms and will bring a blessing, not like a ball struck into the air that doesn't return again to you, but like a ball struck against a wall that returns to your hand again. Let us who are bred up in the belief of this principle bless God. 1. That there is a reward. He might have cut off all hopes and left us under the despair of the first covenant. And in our guilty fears would represent God under no other notion but that of an avenger. And our punishment might have begun with our sin, as the fallen angels were held in chains of darkness under an everlasting horrible despair of mending their condition. When once we had lost God, we might never have found him anymore. His language to the fallen creature might have been only thunder and wrath, or if he would quit us from what is past and release our punishment for the future, he might only have ruled us with a rod of iron and imposed laws upon us out of mere sovereignty and say, thus and thus you shall do, I am the Lord, or at least have held us in bondage and suspended the publication of a new and better covenant and keep it in his own breast, that we might wholly stand to his arbitrary will, whether he would reward us or not. Thus the Lord might have done with us, but he will rather draw us by the cords of a man, hold us to our duty by the sense of our own interest in it, and give us leave to encourage ourselves with the thoughts of his bounty. There are many in the world that think it unsafe to use God's motives and destroy his grace, for which we have cause to bless God. They say God is to be worshipped, though we had no benefit by him, merely for the excellence of his being. But this is but a fancy and an airy religion. To abstract religion from rewards is to frame a religion in conceit. The two first notions of God are his being and his bounty, and we must reflect upon both. It is a description of the people of God, Romans 2, verse 7, that by patient continuance and well-doing they seek for honor and glory and immortality. We may seek honor from God, and a great part of our sincerity lies in this, to make God our paymaster, And therefore let us bless God that there is a reward.